The formation was a strange one. A square formation of tightly packed bodies in front, making a wall. Behind it, a cylinder, 6 boys in circumference and 2 boys deep, their limbs outstretched and frozen so they couldn't possibly be holding on to each other. Yet they held together as tightly as if they had been tied, which in fact they were. From inside the formation, Dragon Army was firing with deadly accuracy, forcing griffins and tigers to stay tightly packed on their stars.
"The back of that sucker is open," said B. "As soon as they get between the stars, we can get around behind."
"Don't talk about it, do it," said Momo.
Then he took his own advice and ordered his boys to launch against the wall and rebound out behind the dragon formation. In the chaos of their takeoff, while Griffin Army held tight to their stars, the dragon formation abruptly changed. Both the cylinder and the front wall split in two as boys inside it pushed off. Almost at once, the formations also reversed direction, heading back toward the dragon gate. Most of the griffins fired at the formations and the boys moving backward with them, and the tigers took the survivors of Dragon Army from behind. But there was something wrong. William B. thought for a moment and realized what it was. Those formations couldn't have reversed direction in mid-flight unless someone pushed off in the opposite direction. And if they took off with enough force to make that 20-man formation move backward, they must be going fast. There they were, 6 small dragon soldiers down near William B.'s own door. From the number of lights showing on their flash suits, B could see that 3 of them were disabled and 2 of them damaged. Only 1 was whole. Nothing to be frightened of. B casually aimed at them, pressed the button, and nothing happened. The lights went on. The game was over. Even though he was looking right at them, it took B a moment to realize what had just happened. 4 of the dragon soldiers had their helmets pressed on the corners of the door, and 1 of them had just passed through. They had just carried out the victory ritual. They were getting destroyed, they had hardly inflicted any casualties, and they had the gall to perform the victory and end the game right under their noses. Only then did it occur to William B. that not only had Dragon Army ended the game, it was possible that under the rules they had won it. After all, no matter what happened, you were not certified as the winner unless you had enough unfrozen soldiers to touch the corners of the gate and pass someone through into the enemy's corridor. Therefore, by one way of thinking, you could argue that the ending ritual was victory. The battle room certainly recognized it as the end of the game. The teacher gate opened and Major Anderson came into the room.
"Ender," he called, looking around.
One of the frozen dragon soldiers tried to answer him through jaws that were clamped shut by the flash suit. Anderson hooked over to him and thawed him. Ender was smiling.
"I beat you again, sir," he said.
"Nonsense, Ender," Anderson said softly. "Your battle was with Griffin and Tiger."
"How stupid do you think I am?" said Ender.
Loudly, Anderson said, "After that little maneuver, the rules are being revised to require that all of the enemy's soldiers must be frozen or disabled before the gate can be reversed."
"They could only work once anyway," Ender said.
Anderson handed him the hook. Ender unfroze everyone at once. To hell with protocol. To hell with everything.
"Hey," he shouted as Anderson moved away, "what is it next time? My army in a cage without guns with the rest of the battle school against them? How about a little equality?"
There was a loud murmur of agreement from the other boys, and not all of it came from Dragon Army. Anderson did not so much as turn around to acknowledge Ender's challenge. Finally, it was William B. who answered. "Ender, if you're on one side of the battle, it won't be equal no matter what the conditions are."
"Right," called the boys. Many of them laughed.
Talo Momo began clapping his hands.
"Ender Wiggin," he shouted.
The other boys also clapped and shouted Ender's name. Ender passed through the enemy gate. His soldiers followed him. The sound of them shouting his name followed him through the corridors. "Practice tonight?" asked Crazy Tom. Ender shook his head.
"Tomorrow morning, then?"
"No."
"Well, when?"
"Never again, as far as I'm concerned." He could hear the murmurs behind him.
"Hey, that's not fair," said one of the boys. "It's not our fault the teachers are screwing up the game. You can't just stop teaching us stuff because..." Ender slammed his open hand against the wall and shouted at the boy, "I don't care about the game anymore." His voice echoed through the corridor. Boys from other armies came to their doors. He spoke quietly into the silence. "Do you understand that?" And he whispered, "The game is over."